All right, let's all take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have the sheet, the note sheet that's inside the bulletin, we'll be on the back side of that tonight. But I'm going to review just a little bit from the front. This morning we talked about a big word. Anybody remember what word that was? Justification. That's correct. Justification. We said justification is in the Bible when God says, I declare that person righteous. We're not really righteous on our own, but God declares us to be righteous. He says, as far as I'm concerned, that person is righteous. He's declared righteous. He's justified in my sight. And it's a wonderful thing, justification. Tonight we're going to talk about sanctification. Both of those are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look down at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Okay, such were some of you. You know, before we were saved, we were in a bad way. We were sinners, every one of us. Some of us may be worse sinners than others, but how many sins does it take to separate somebody from God? Just one, because God is holy, and He's perfectly separate from sin. And so no matter how good of a person I am, I can't deserve heaven on my own. I've got to be justified. I've got to have the Lord work in my heart to the point where He says, okay, you are now declared righteous because you've received me as Savior. I'm justified in Him. So it's a wonderful thing. Yep, sorry about that, guys. We always lock the doors after we start because we don't want people coming in using the weight room and all that. So that's why we locked it up about 6:15. But thanks for knocking. Appreciate your patience. And this is Mike, right? Mike, good to see you back. All right. Yeah, if you ever come late to the service, you're going to have to just be persistent till we come and open up for you, because everybody's in here and we don't want people roaming the building because no one's supposed to be in here except us. So we leave it unlocked until after the songs and so forth. All right. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, guys, if you have a Bible, want to follow along. And we're talking about the concept of justification. Look down at verse 11. Such are some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, there's sanctification, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Two things happened to these people when they got saved. They were justified and they're sanctified. Justification and sanctification. Notice that both of them are in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those things are not accomplished by our own deeds. We can't accomplish justification or sanctification for ourselves. God has to do it for us. And it also says in verse 11, it's by the Spirit of our God. It's by God's Holy Spirit that the work is done in our life. In other words, you don't become justified or right with God by trying harder. No, it's by the Spirit of God when you're saved, when you're born again, when He comes into your life. He does the transformation. And as we said this morning, you're golden on the inside. Remember that? You're golden on the inside because He's transformed you. Well, the next step after justification is what the Bible calls sanctification. This is when the new you that's on the inside, because you've been saved, begins to show on the outside. That's being sanctified. Let's look at the chart from this morning, just review that. In justification, I'm put in Christ. In sanctification, I'm made like Christ. In justification, I move over to get in line with Christ. In sanctification, I move up to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. To justify means to declare righteous. To sanctify means to set apart. We'll talk about that tonight. Justification is instantaneous. It happens just like that on the moment that you trust Christ as Savior, the day that you're saved. Some of you were saved in this church, and when you asked the Lord to save you, You were justified. Some of you got saved out at your house or on your doorstep. And when you asked the Lord to save you, He justified you in that moment. He declared you righteous. He said, your sin is erased. It's no longer imputed or counted on your account. Your sin is washed away, and now Christ's righteousness is placed on you. That happened instantaneously. Justification is instantaneous, but sanctification is a continual process. A continual process. That's the blank on the sheet there, process. It's got to continue to go on in our life after we're saved. Justification is all of God. Sanctification, I must cooperate with God and submit to Him and obey Him, the things He's trying to do. So tonight we want to focus on this second important word, sanctification. As I said this morning, if we could understand justification and sanctification, it would transform our Christian walk. It would solve the problems that we all face in our Christian life. If we could get a grasp of what the Bible means when it says we're justified and then we're to be sanctified. First of all, sanctification's definition. To be sanctified is to be like Christ. It's to move up to where we already are in justification. We've already been positioned in Christ if we're saved. Well, now we need to move up and seek for the Lord to produce that in our outward life and to let that show. It's the continual process whereby the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes us more and more like Christ. And it's a lifelong thing. As I said the other day, before we're saved, we're going our own way. Oh, I think I'm maybe going to heaven, or maybe I don't care about heaven, but I come to the point in my life where I repent. I change my mind. I say, no, I need Jesus as my Savior. And now I'm on a journey to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, we'll be perfectly like Him. But until that day, we're supposed to be growing Christians. This lifelong process is called sanctification. My part is to cooperate with God and submit to Him. Lord, whatever you want, Lord, you deal with me. Whatever you deal with me about today, I'm willing to let you change me. That's what sanctification is all about. Now, if you want to fill in some on your chart here today, first of all, there are three stages to sanctification. When you read about sanctification in the Bible, sometimes it sounds like it's already done. The verse we just read, 1 Corinthians 6:11, ye are sanctified. Sounds like it's already done. Sometimes you'll read about it and it'll sound like it's happening right now. And sometimes you'll read about sanctification in the Bible and it seems to say it's going to happen in the future. Those are the three stages, past, present, and future. Past sanctification. Let's talk about that one. The sanctification that took place on the day that I was saved is past. It's positional. It says that I'm in this position now under Christ. I belong to Him. It's positional sanctification. If you've been saved, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you are positionally sanctified. You're already set apart. That's what sanctified means. You are set apart for Him. You belong to Him. So when does it happen? It happens at salvation. And past sanctification or positional sanctification frees us from sin's penalty. What is the penalty for sin? Death. And what kind of death? Eternal death, yes. The penalty for my sin, if I got what I deserved, I would end up with eternal death in the place the Bible calls hell. God did not intend that. He created hell for the devil and his angels. But because we've sinned, every one of us, if we got what we deserved, if we got our just deserts, we'd end up in the lake of fire. But God has declared us righteous if we've received Christ as our Savior. And He has sanctified us. He has freed us from the penalty of sin. That's our past sanctification that happened on the day you were saved. Well, the next stage is present sanctification. Present sanctification. And this is not positional. It's progressive. It's a sanctification that takes place every day in our Christian walk as we read this book, the Bible, and apply it and do what it says. then we are progressively sanctified or set apart for God. It's a daily thing. And just like the past sanctification freed us from the penalty of sin, present sanctification frees us from the power of sin. You know, if you see an unsaved person and you hear them standing outside the store and they're using a bunch of foul language and cursing and things like that, that shouldn't shock us because they are still under the power of sin. They've not been saved yet. But when you get saved, you're not only freed from the penalty of sin, but because of progressive sanctification right now, we are free from the power of sin. Oh, we might still do some sin, but we can live in victory now. Before, it was normal and natural to use those curse words. It was normal and natural to treat people ungodly, to step on people on the way up the ladder of success. But now that I have Christ in my life, I don't have to live that way anymore. I'm freed from the power of sin. Oh, I don't get mad at unsaved people when they act like that because they're a slave to it. They don't have any choice. They don't need me to go up to them and say, hey, quit cursing, buddy. They need me to go up to him and say, hey, you need the Lord. You need Jesus Christ. He's not just a curse word. He can save your soul. He can transform your life. Let me show you what somebody showed me from the Bible, how you can be saved. Because if he'll receive Christ as Savior, then he'll be free from the penalty of sin. And he'll be free from the power of that sin. Or he doesn't have to live that way anymore. He can live in victory. And it's a great thing. Present sanctification. When does it occur? It occurs with cleansing and surrender. It's when I, as a Christian, someone who's already saved, comes before the Lord and says, now, Lord, I was saved when I was 9 years old, but Father, I have been disobeying you today about this and that and the other. And I name them to the Lord. I say, now, Lord, cleanse me of that. Forgive me. And then get that out of my life because I don't want to live that way. I'm free from the power of sin. I don't have to live that way anymore. So Lord, cleanse me. And when I confess that sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what happens at that moment? I become more sanctified. It's a present, progressive process. And it happens with cleansing and it happens with surrender. The other thing we do, if we say, okay, I want to grow spiritually. I want to have this present sanctification you're talking about, Pastor Kneedler. What do? Okay, we confess our sin, but then we surrender. We say, now, Lord, I give my life to you. I'll do what you want me to do today. I believe you want me to go to work today. I'm supporting my family, so here I go, Lord, but I'm going to handle this occupation and this job the way you want me to handle it. I'm surrendering to you. This evening, Lord, I'm done work. What do you want me to do this evening? You want me to get some relaxation with the family? Maybe watch some television as long as the show is pleasing to the Lord? Okay, Lord, I'll do that. Or you want me to go encourage someone? Or maybe go out witnessing for you tonight? Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I'll do. I surrender to you. And when we surrender to God, he accomplishes that present sanctification. And we make progress in this Christian life. And then the last blank there, it frees us from sin's power, this present sanctification. Well, the last stage of sanctification is future sanctification. Future sanctification. And past sanctification is positional, I'm placed in Christ. Present sanctification is progressive. I like this. Future sanctification is permanent. Once that future sanctification takes place, I'm like Christ. It's permanent. It's a done deal. I'm locked in. And it's a great thing. Permanent sanctification. When does that take place? In heaven. It won't be till we go to be with the Lord that the sanctification is complete and then we are permanently made like Christ. And this frees us from sin's presence. You see, right now, I'm free from the power of sin, but I'm not free from the presence of sin. I still mess up sometimes. Oh, I don't have to, but I still do. But when we get to heaven, we'll be freed from the very presence of sin. No more temptation, no more giving in to temptation, free from the very presence of sin. Heaven is a wonderful place. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great thing. Three stages of sanctification, but what's it all about? Why does the Lord want us to be sanctified? To be sanctified means to be set apart from sin. There's two aspects. This idea of set apart is also the same word in the Bible for holiness. Our God is holy because He is set apart from sin. When you read the word sanctification in the Bible, it's the same word as the word holiness in the Bible. Five times, the word in the original is translated holiness, and the other five times is translated sanctification. But it's the same exact word. So holiness and sanctification go together. Listen to Hebrews 12:14. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We're supposed to follow holiness. We're supposed to follow this sanctification. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, "But he, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." God says, I'm holy, and so that's what I want you to be. I'm totally set apart, that's so I want you to be set apart. Set apart from sin. Everybody turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. You say, all right, well, how do I get more sanctified? How is this accomplished in our lives? John 17 is a wonderful chapter. It's actually the Lord Jesus praying for you. You say, wait a minute, I wasn't even alive yet. Yeah, He prays for those that will come afterwards. And He's talking about Christians like us. He's praying for us in John chapter 17. Wonderful prayer. Look down at verse 16. And here's what Jesus says about us. He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He says, look, you Christians, you are not of this world. You've been set apart. You're different because you've received Christ as your Savior. God has a special plan for your life. You've been set apart for God. So sanctify them, he says, or set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What you're doing right now, listening to the word of God being preached, that has a sanctifying effect on our lives. When I studied for this message, all through this week, it had a sanctifying effect on my life. It sets us apart. It makes us more holy. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When you guys went to Bible school this week, that had a part in your life of setting you apart more for God, making you more of what God wants you to be, setting you apart for His service, more like Him. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what communion hath the ungodly with the godly?" I didn't get the words just right there. But he said, look, you're set apart now. You're not like this world anymore. 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I'm not loving God very much if I love the things of this world. I might say, oh yeah, I love God. But not if I love the things of this world. I'm not loving God at that moment. The love of the Father is not in me because He has separated us. He set us apart for Him. Listen to this one, 1 Peter 2:9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." You say, yeah, the guy next to me, he's pretty peculiar. No, it means a special people. "That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." God has chosen us and called us out of darkness to show forth how great of a Savior He is. And He wants us to live in such a way that when people look at our lives, they say, hey, you know what? I need that. The way that guy's living, that's what I need. That's what being sanctified is all about, being set apart, being chosen for God's service. Well, we're set apart from sin in the world, and we're set apart to God for service. There's two aspects. You know, some people, they get all worked up about being set apart from sin. And sometimes they'll accuse us, independent Baptist churches, they'll say, you guys, you just preach against everything, man. You're against this, you're against that, you're against this. You're just against the whole world, you know. Well, wait a second. There is two aspects. Yes, we are set apart from sin. But why? So we can go around with our nose in the air and think we're better than everybody else? No. We're set apart from sin so that we can be set apart to God for service. In the Old Testament, the word sanctified, the word holy, comes up often describing the instruments that were used in the temple and in the tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle had the place where the bread was there, and the priests were supposed to eat of that bread. And there were some different utensils in there. There were some cups for them to drink out of. But you know what? All of those utensils, the cups and all the other things that they had for the tabernacle and the temple, they weren't used in everyday life. They were used only in the temple. They were set apart for temple use. They were sanctified. They were holy for the use in the temple. That's the same word, sanctified, set apart, holy. They were set apart for God's service. But you know what? Those vessels, they weren't set apart just because they were stuck there in the temple on the shelf. They were put in there so that they could be used. And in the same way, God sanctifies us. He calls us out of this world. He sets us apart, but not just so we could be up on the shelf, so then He could take us down and use us for His glory. We're sanctified, we're set apart from sin, but set apart to God for service. Does that make sense? That's why He set us apart. He wants us to be serving Him, to be used of Him. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Don't take this body and say, hey, I'm saved, but I don't care. I'm going to live however I want to, God. No, we ought to say, God, you saved me. I love you for saving me. So I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to be set apart. I'm going to be sanctified. I want you to use me. I want my life to count for Christ in an important way. If you're in John chapter 17, look down at verse 19. Jesus says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, guys. He says, I'm not just praying for these disciples that are sitting right in front of me now. I'm praying for all the people that will believe on me through their word. That's us. We're the ones that believed on Him through their word. And He's praying for us. Look what He asks for us in verse 21. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. You know why He sanctified us? So the world will believe that God sent Jesus. Right now the world thinks, oh yeah, Jesus, He's some historical figure. He died on some cross. But they don't believe that God sent Him to be the Savior. But the reason that Jesus prayed for us to be sanctified or set apart from sin is so that the whole world would know that He really is the Savior. Now, is that happening through my life and through yours? Are the people of this world learning and finding out that Jesus really is the Savior? They find it out by looking at our life, and they find it out by listening to our lips. It's by life and lips. We've got to tell them that Jesus is the Savior. We've got to pass out tracts and let them know. But that's not enough. We've got to live it. And that's why He has set us apart. That's why He has sanctified us. That's why we try not to love the sins of this world and live in an ungodly way. Because we want God to use us. We don't want these people to end up in hell. We want them to have heaven. Christ paid for it so they could have it. And if they'll just find out that it's a free gift they can receive, then they can do it. Now maybe you've come tonight and you've not yet received Christ as your Savior. Maybe it's new to you. Maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe you've heard it over and over again, but you never made that choice to accept Christ. You know what? You've not been justified yet, and so you can't be sanctified yet. But tonight, if you'll realize Jesus died for me, He paid for my sins so I wouldn't have to, and I have to stop trusting myself and my own good deeds and put all my trust in Christ. And if you'll do that, He'll save you tonight. We'll show you how to do it. We'll show you right from the Bible. If you'll give us that opportunity later this evening, we'll show you right from the Bible how you can receive Christ as your Savior and know for sure you're on your way to heaven, and then He'll justify you, and you'll be on the road of sanctification. It'll be a great thing. In this progressive sanctification, Christ becomes my model. If we'll understand these concepts of justification and sanctification, and we'll think about them often, God will use that to build Christ's likeness into my life. In Colossians 3:4, it says, Christ, who is our life. Christ is my life. I want to be able to say that with all sincerity and honesty. I want to be able to say, Christ is my life. Oh, it's not just Pastor Needler living his life. No, it's Pastor Needler surrendering his life and Christ living out his life through me. And that's not just for pastors. That's for every Christian. Every Christian can get to that point where we say, Christ is our life. Every day I want to be more like Him. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we're enabled to say yes to God and no to ourselves. Yes, our life goal is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen many verses about it in the past couple weeks. I want to tie it together. We've had that memory verse, Psalm 17:15. If you know it, say it with me. Ready? Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17:15. Hey, we're not going to be satisfied till we awake with His likeness. We saw 1 Peter 2:21. Hereunto are ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. We learned that He predestined us to be like Christ. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are to have His mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to do His work. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. We are to do His work. We are to love as He loved. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We are to forgive as He forgave. Ephesians 4:32, as Christ forgave, so do ye also. We are to do as He did. John 13:15, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. We are to be exactly like He is in this world. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Guys, He can't be here right now in person, in body, to forgive. So I must show people how He forgives. He's not here in body to show love to people. So I must show other people how He would show love. He's not here in person, in body, to meet needs. So He has us become like Him so we can meet needs. He says to you and me, show them how I would love. Show them what I would do. Show them where I would go. Show them what I would preach. Show them how I would sing. Show them how I would teach. You show them how I would give. You show them how I would forgive. You show them how I would be kind. You show them how I would do good. And when we hear that challenge, I don't know about you, but I say, Lord, that task is too great for me. I'm supposed to show them how You do ministry. I'm supposed to show this world how You love. Lord, the task is too great for me. And so in Romans 8:11, He says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you'll be able to live that resurrected life of Christ right now. Suppose Jesus came to me and said, Pastor Needler, I'd like you to paint the famous painting, like in the Sistine Chapel up on the ceiling. I'd like you to paint the Last Judgment. You've seen, how many have seen that painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? Okay, Michelangelo, great painting. And if he said, Pastor, I want you to do it, I'd look at that and say, there's no way I could do that. I can't even hardly paint my kitchen. I'm going to paint the Sistine Chapel. There's no way I can do that. But what if he said, but you know what, I'm going to put in you the spirit of Michelangelo. Well, then maybe I could do it. Right? And that's the same thing the Lord says. He says, I want you to be like Christ. And we say, Lord, I can't do that. And he says, wait a minute. I'm going to put into you my spirit, God's Holy Spirit, the spirit of Christ, so that you can live out that life. And then you can do it. He says, make another life just like mine. And I'll give you my spirit to make it possible. When we say, okay, I get the concept. All right? I can be that painter. I can paint the life of Christ if you'll fill me with your spirit. And so we try. And we try to live like Christ and we try to depend on the Spirit and we still fail. Because there's more to the concept. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, this sanctification is by the Spirit. By the Spirit. So it's not only that we have His Spirit in us, but it's by the Spirit. He actually does the painting. Oh, I get it. I'm not the painter. I'm the canvas. And I say, okay, Lord, through Your Spirit, You paint the life of Christ on me. You make me like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens when we yield. We say, Lord, I surrender to You. I want to be like the Lord Jesus. I want to be sanctified. I want to have that progressive sanctification. We try to be like Him, but then we fail. But in the power of the Spirit, we try to paint His likeness, and this helps some, but we still fail. And then we realize we're not the painter, we're the canvas. And we yield to the master artist who paints day by day the likeness of Christ onto my yielded life and onto your yielded life. We daily yield to the Lord. We say, Lord, let my path cross the path of someone who the Lord would help today. And let me be like Jesus today. 2,000 years ago, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. And He gave Himself to helping others. When He saw the hungry, He fed them. When He saw the cold, He clothed them. When He saw the sad, He cheered them. When He saw the weary, He strengthened them. When He saw the discouraged, He encouraged them. When He saw the poor, He blessed them. When people cursed Him, He blessed them. When they hated Him, He loved them. When He was despitefully used by them, He prayed for them. When Judas betrayed Him with a kiss, He turned and He called Judas. He said, friend, friend. When He was reviled, He did not retaliate. His hands never sought vengeance. His feet never trod a wicked path. His mind never had a wicked thought. His fingers never took that which should not have been taken. His tongue never spoke sinful words. His heart never entertained a wrong motive. It was wonderful. One who knew Jesus best summarized His life this way. He said, He went about doing good. But there's something sad about this wonderful life of the Lord Jesus. It was confined to an area about 75 miles long and 40 miles wide. It was limited to a short time span of only 33 years. America never saw Him. China never saw Him. Southeast Asia never saw Him. Europe never saw Him. Russia never saw Him. Don't others need to see Him? And so the Holy Spirit has been made available to every Christian, so that everyone in this world will have opportunity to see the amazing life that Jesus lived. Now, every country, every town, every school, every neighborhood, every grade, every classroom, young people, every family can see Him in us if we'll yield. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.